Good morning. This is Anglicare on Air with Lynn Arnold, and this is the first program I've been on this year, so I wish you a Happy New Year. And here we are at the end of February nearly, and I'm wishing you a Happy New Year. My, how the year's flying by already. Anyway, it's great to be with you again, and today we're going to have a great program. I'm going to be interviewing Michelle Davies, who's the Refugee and Transitional Accommodation Manager for Anglicare SA. But I'll be talking to her in a few moments. But anyway, Michelle, welcome. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lynn. Happy to be here.
Great. Anyway, I'm sorry I wasn't here last month. I was in Coober Pedy. I was the Australia Day Ambassador at the Coober Pedy celebrations for Australia Day, and it was a very special occasion. Coober Pedy is a very special community. We don't realise just how interesting many places in South Australia can be. And here we have a community with people from all over the world who've come together, and they have forged, and it really is in the heat of Coober Pedy a case of forging, a very interesting community indeed. But today we're going to talk about issues of migration, refugee and transitional accommodation. And this is because Anglicare is very actively involved in areas of working with new settlers in our state, particularly refugees and those who are hoping to become officially designated as refugees. Anglicare is part of a consortium, what's called the South Australian Multicultural Settlement Scheme, and the Migrant Resource Centre of South Australia is a co-agency with us in that scheme. And we help with them, to provide support for refugees when they come to Australia. But Michelle will tell us more about that in a moment. Now, another program we've been involved in for the last 12 months or so are those people who have come to this country but have not yet been approved as refugees in the country. So they're held in community detention, not those held in detention centres, but those who are held in the community but under conditions of detention. And we work with the Red Cross in helping those new settlers in our community. So we'll be talking about that a bit later in the program. But now, first of all, before we do talk about that, I just want to talk about some other issues that are of continuing concern for us in Anglicare. And that is the extreme pressures that many South Australian families continue to face, with cost pressures from utility bills, electricity, gas, water, as well as all the other cost pressures that they find. We're very pleased to say that the state government is actually wanting to talk to us and other agencies about how we can provide more support for families in these sorts of situations. Premier Jay Weatherall has called a meeting of myself and two other representatives of the sector to discuss ways in which we can look at this, and that meeting will be happening later today. Now, we're very, very pleased indeed with that kind of forthright approach to recognise that there is a serious problem here. You may have heard some figures talked about last week that the level of demand for, or request rather, for emergency assistance from agencies like Anglicare has been growing dramatically in recent times. And much of that is because people simply can no longer afford to pay the bills that they encounter. And it's not just people who are on ongoing income support from welfare payments. It's also wage earners on low incomes who are finding that their budget just doesn't extend far enough anymore. This is a critical issue. It's an issue which we believe all major sides in politics should be facing. And as we come up to the next state election, which is still 2.5 years away, it is very important that both major sides understand the great trouble that many South Australian families are in this regard. We have made a big point about the fact that financial counselling is a very important part of providing support for families that simply cannot cope. If you have limited resources, you can either spend them effectively or ineffectively. And many people on limited resources actually appreciate the value of financial counselling to help them spend that money more effectively, to make what little they have go further to meet the essential expenses they have. And financial counselling is something that we provide in Anglicare, but it's also something that the state government provided in greater volume previously than they do now. And you may have heard that agencies like us have been lobbying very actively against a major cutback that took place 2 years ago, but the real impact is happening now. And so we believe that the government should put that allocation back. We know that resources are not limitless, but at the end of the day, helping people in South Australia who are at the most vulnerable point in their lives is surely a top priority goal. Now, we're going to take a music break now, and then we'll come and talk to Michelle about refugees and accommodation and all those related issues. So we're going to go to Toto Africa. Africa by Toto, from the best singles of all time, from the 80s. Classic hit singles by original artists, so that was a great little piece, bringing back some memories there. And you're on Anglicare On Air with Lynn Arnold, and I've got a special guest this morning who we'll be talking with about refugee and transitional accommodation. I recently attended an afternoon seminar put on by the Sudanese community in South Australia. They have been celebrating the independence of the Republic of South Sudan, but they particularly want to talk about human rights in Sudan. But many of the Sudanese in our community have come here as refugees, and they have had requirements for transitional accommodation. And we know here in the community of Salisbury there are many such people in the same category. I was preaching a couple of Sundays ago at St. John's, Salisbury, and there's a very significant Burundian part of the congregation there. It was wonderful to see them all. Anyway, Michelle, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, Michelle, tell me, what's your particular role?
My role is the manager for the refugee housing program, and we are contracted to the Department of Immigration to house new arrivals that come in under the Humanitarian Settlement Services.
Now, how does that work? I mean, what sort of notice do we have as to who's coming and how many come on average? Is it a fixed amount every month, or does this vary?
It does vary quite a bit. We have access to the immigration database, and Anglicare put in arrival windows when we can accept families, mm-hmm. and it's a 2-week window that goes back to the overseas post, and then we put in the confirm, or when they put in the confirmed flights, we allocate the housing.
Now, so the people who are coming, you say confirmed flights, these are people coming from
offshore
refugee resettlement.
Yes, so they're coming from refugee camps overseas,
mm-hmm.
And they're referred to a state. It's Australia-wide, and South Australia receive a certain amount of settlements, and so do the other states.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on links. If they have links here, or if other states can't accept them, then they'll come to South Australia.
Now, what sort of places are they coming from?
The majority at the moment are coming from Bhutan, Burma again. We had a big Burmese settlement back in 2007, and that's sort of coming back again now. Ethiopia, Eritrea, mm-hmm. they're the main groups at the moment.
Okay. And over the time you've been with the program, other countries as well?
Very early on. I've been with Anglicare for 5 years, and very early on we had a big Sudanese influx mm-hmm. back in 2006, 2007, Burundi in 2009, Burmese again in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bhutanese started coming in 2009. Mm-hmm. So it changes a lot from Afghanistan. That's another big major group, but they're mostly singles that come through.
Now, when they land in this country, do we immediately meet them and take them to accommodation, or do they go into any other arrangements first?
No. South Australia are the only state that put clients or tenants straight into long-term accommodation. So all the other states put them in share accommodation or hotels. South Australia are fortunately able to put them straight into long-term accommodation, which are houses that are head leased by Anglicare.
Okay. So they've come from a refugee camp in Thailand, or for Bhutan, that's probably, I suppose, in India.
I'm not too sure. Yeah.
And then they come straight here. Now, what about English and issues like that?
Some, it depends on how well educated they are. Some of them have quite good English skills. We usually rely heavily on adult children or mm-hmm. the younger children. They seem to pick it up fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times we find children are interpreting for the parents. The more remote areas they come from, the harder it is for them to pick up the English.
Mm-hmm.
So we use interpreters.
Mm-hmm. So it must be a very isolating circumstance for them to suddenly find themselves in a distant community, not having any connections, any support. How do we help them?
Well, we have a look at we have the information of their background before they arrive, and because the arrivals have been coming in from different groups for quite a few years now, there are certain links that may already be established here.
Mm-hmm.
Community groups are growing every year. So although Anglicare don't do case management, we just do tenancy support.
Mm-hmm.
They are linked in with the community upon arrival. The community are notified of their arrival so that they can support them.
Okay. So we've met them at the plane, we've taken them to some accommodation, how long will they stay in that accommodation on average?
We sign a lease for 6 months, but we don't hold them to that lease.
Mm-hmm.
So if they find a property of their own to put in their own name within a few months,
mm-hmm.
They're quite able to leave without breaking a lease. We don't hold them to that.
Sure.
Sometimes they may stay a bit longer if they need a bit more support.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, at the end of that 6 months, you know, we don't change the locks.
Now, what kind of support do they get apart from accommodation?
They get case management support, which is provided by the Migrant Resource Centre, which
mm-hmm.
you mentioned earlier. So they're supported with health checks and enrolments in school, sporting activities, community involvement, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, what income support do they get?
Centrelink benefits,
mm-hmm.
and to keep the Centrelink benefits, they have to attend English school.
Mm-hmm.
So they all are allocated 500 hours of English lessons,
mm-hmm.
Which they all attend.
Yes,
obviously.
Yes. And when they go into the house, is the house furnished?
Yes, a part of our service provision is to provide a basic household goods pack, and it is quite basic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your bed, bedding, white goods, which is just a washing machine and a fridge, furniture in the lounge room, dining room, and all your kitchen utensils and plates mm-hmm. and cups and bowls and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, we get a lot of that from our Westworks program, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Which is another Anglicare social enterprise initiative.
Yes, it is.
And that takes second-hand furniture and even some electrical items, and we make sure that it's up to standard and appropriate, and then so that becomes an immediate source of supplies.
It is, especially for the larger families. All of the basic household goods that we provide are brand new,
mm-hmm.
But for the bigger families, some of the family sizes are 12, 13,
yes.
we can't find a fridge big enough, so then we'll go to the second hand and get either two big ones. Or, so it just varies. It depends on what the size of the family.
Okay, fine, good. Now, so we have case management through the MRC, and this is helping them find other accommodation to go on to, employment support?
Yes, with the accommodation side of things, once they've been here 3-4 months, we send them a letter inviting them to an appointment with our private rental referral office in the city,
mm-hmm.
and we have two officers in there, and they go through the education process of what sort of accommodation they're looking for, what they mm-hmm. can afford, what areas they want to live in, where their family links mm-hmm. are, and just what they need to do when they apply for a property, what they should do when they go to an open inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, don't take all your 6 children with you when you go to an inspection. Just things that you wouldn't think of.
Yes, yes.
That, we need to point out to them. So it's a very intensive process.
Absolutely, yeah. Any idea, and I know you could get this figure, but off the top of your head, how many are we working with every year and over a 2-year, 3-year period?
Over a year, I think the national intake is around or just over 13,000, 13,500, and South Australia are referred about 12% of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from the national intake, and that includes offshore arrivals, onshore arrivals, which are the asylum seekers that are granted a visa, and community detention families that are also granted a visa, which have just started coming through.
Yeah. So in terms of the program you're oversighting, in any 1 year, how many families do you expect to perhaps come in contact with, or you and your team?
Yes, so that would be roughly 1,200.
Wow, that's a lot of people that you come in contact with.
Yeah.
Now, the education packs of the Magdalen Centre, what's the situation there?
The education packs are, it's a lot of flats and units don't really translate to many languages, so it's a whole process of describing what is on offer, what different properties there are, what a flat is, what a townhouse is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go through the realestate.com on the internet and how to look for a house and the different things they may need. Is it close to a bus stop? Is it close to a school? Where do you go to school? Can you catch a bus there? And just all different things that perhaps they wouldn't think of unless they were given that guidance.
And which we take for granted and forget that if we were suddenly translated to a totally different context, they're the very first things that we would need to know.
That's right. And a lot of the time they don't quite understand that the open inspections, you go there, you have a look around, and then you fill in the application. So that sort of helps them out to how to get to the open inspection, which buses to catch. And so we don't just give them an address, we actually show them how to get there what time to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, great. Okay, Michelle, we're going to take another music break. This time we're going to go to Hands by Jewel. No, we're not.
Hey, look here. We'd like to do a song for you that was a hit record for this band in 1970. We'd like to dedicate it to the late Bob DeBaer Height. It's been referred to as the Hymn to National Anthem. It's called Let's Work Together.
Together we will stand every
Pretty important message from Canned Heat. Let's work together. And indeed, that's what we're talking about, is working together to help new arrivals to our country become settled in our country and become an important part of our community. Because that's what Australia is a community brought together from, first of all, the first peoples of this country who have been here for many, many thousands of years, and then all of us who arrived over the 200 years or so and are still arriving today. And I'm talking with Michelle Davies, who's the manager of our Refugee and Transitional Accommodation Program, and we were just, during the music break, talking about the 1,200 or so who come to South Australia each year, and Anglicare plays a role helping them. Not all of them, of course, will be housed by Anglicare Direct, because some will go direct to families or sponsored situations, and others may have other arrangements in place. But somehow or other, we are there ready as a safety net, I guess, for all of those people. Is that correct, Michelle?
Yes, that's a good way of putting it, Lynn. We are providing the service when requested by the Department of Immigration. So if they need our help, we provide it.
Great. And in terms of providing help, one big thing that we provide, of course, are the homemaker kits. And they're pretty interesting too. Could you tell us a bit about the homemaker kit program and why we're involved and who we're involved with in that?
Certainly. So this started probably 5-6 years ago in the earlier contract. And the houses, because the basic household goods packages are quite minimal, the houses did look a bit bare, so we started putting in things like vases and fruit bowls and salt and pepper shakers, and it made a massive difference to the look of the property when they first walk into the house, because most of them arrive quite late in the evening. And that became very popular with the Department of Immigration, because no other state provides that service.
Oh, yes.
So
mm-hmm.
South Australia are doing well.
Another South Australian first.
It is, it is. And it's talked about by the other service providers as well. So, and then more recently, the parishes wanted to be involved, the parishioners wanted to be involved with helping the refugees.
Okay.
And we were running low on stocks and we're in desperate need of someone to help us. We don't have the staff to do that ourselves. And they were quite willing to do that. So we had a few meetings with the parishioners and they all jumped on board and
Wonderful. So this is a bit of a joint venture between various parishes and also Anglicare itself.
Absolutely.
Okay. How many kits have been provided?
Since we started the program, which was towards the end of last year, 145.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
And so you've said it's things just to add a bit of homeness.
It is.
To the accommodation that they're in.
It's like throw rugs, cushions, picture frames, pictures.
Mm.
It makes a very big difference to the way the property looks.
Yeah, and I guess we can all identify with that. You know, if you go into a place and it's very Spartan and there's nothing else there, then there's a pretty low feeling you might
have.
It's
not as homely.
Not homely, that's right. And one of the issues we need to understand is that we're not just dealing with houselessness, we're dealing with homeless situations or homing situations where we want people to feel at home.
That's right.
And that's more than just the very basics of shelter.
That's right. A lot of them have travelled a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want something to come into that they can just relax in and
that's right.
And make their own.
Yeah. Has it been a popular program?
Very popular, and is very well received by both, as I said, the Department of Immigration, the families that arrive, and our workers as well.
Oh, very good. Now, how can other groups be involved in this?
We are in desperate need always of rugs, floor rugs, because a lot of our properties don't have carpet, they just have floorboards or vinyl, and floor rugs are a hard thing to come by. Cushions, throw rugs, things like that. So
yeah,
if anyone has anything that they can donate.
Okay, well, to anyone listening out there, what number should they ring?
If they ring 8209-6660.
8209-6660. Okay, 8209-6660.
And then we can help them out.
Wonderful. And then you can help them out as they help others out by providing materials for these homemaker kits. I think they're just a brilliant idea.
They are.
Very, very good indeed. Now, just coming back to a previous area of this, when we've helped them with accommodation and then we help them and the MRC help them through case management, what are they themselves responsible for?
They are responsible for their own rent.
Mm-hmm.
They pay their own rent. They pay their own utilities.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking after the property themselves. So that is part of the education process that our tenancy officers help them with.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what's expected of them as tenants when they move on to private rental, because of course we want them to be successful and they want to be successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think it's important that people understand that, because there's a lot of urban mythology goes around about what's provided to refugees, and they do not get what a lot of people believe they get.
That's true.
What they are getting is entirely appropriate to their support and their circumstance.
Absolutely.
And if we were in the same situation, we would only hope that the same would happen to us. Now, I'm running out of time here. I'm getting the wind-up call from Denise here, my producer, and so I'm going to say farewell for the day. And Michelle, thank you very much for being with us today. Courtney Alderson, who has been the producer of this program, done a wonderful job, and we're about to lose Courtney, unfortunately, but we wish her all the very, very best in the future. So that's it for now from Anglicare On Air, and we'll be back on air again on the 23rd of March. All the best. God bless.